you are like me, and I presume that you are. There are so many things about this world that you love and appreciate. At the same time, you probably look at this life and this world and you observe in it some things that disappoint you, things that you wish were not here, and people react in such a way that you wish that you could, if you had the ability, change the attitudes and the actions of so many people. As you begin to explore the reason why some people are as they are, quite frequently you will find out that it is because they do not believe in God. The ignorance that exists in the Almighty is the cause of so much of that which is wrong with this earth. For just a few moments, I'd like to introduce our subject by asking you to think about the advancement of knowledge in our society. Just think with me for a few moments. Some of the things that have taken place in the lifetime of the majority of the people sitting here. In fact, unless you're just a baby, in your lifetime, there has been the completion of the mapping of the human genome. That's your DNA. There are 20 to 25,000 genes in the human body. And to try to map those has been a monumental task. But because the scientists have been able to do that, now they can determine whether or not you are predisposed to have cancer, heart disease, many other things. With the advancements that will occur, now having done that, it's very possible that they will find some unique treatments for some of these diseases that we have. And that was a major movement in the knowledge of mankind. Think about the investigation of space. I know many of us have looked up and we've seen the sun, the moon, and the stars, but in our lifetime, they have been able to identify not only new stars, but new planets. They have begun to measure the distance, and there's so much that is known today that was not even known 5 years ago about them. Just think about the amount of information that you yourself can have access to. Things that only people, for instance, who were in the universities who had access to the direct information. I'll tell you one of the areas for me is the area of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Even though they were found in the late 40s, they were not accessible until the 1990s because those who were copying them and translating them wouldn't turn them loose. They didn't want other people to have them. They wanted to be the first ones to publish them. But now you, in just a second, can go to the Google search engine and search almost any topic and within just a split second be able to have more information than any generation before you. I want you to think about that vast amount of knowledge. But yet, for all of this, our world is still in a situation of darkness, misery, and despair. Our world today is still searching for answers. In spite of all this increase in knowledge, if we are becoming so smart, why is it that we still have this dark cloud that seemingly hangs over the head of mankind? In spite of all the knowledge that is available and that is attained by so many people, everyone is still ignorant about some things. Nature teaches us some things by experience. For instance, it teaches us that fire is hot. It doesn't take you long as a child that your parents will tell you, fire is hot. But then you burn yourself and you realize that's true. Or what goes up must come back down, the law of gravity, and you throw a baseball up and you notice here it comes back down and hits you. You understand what goes up comes down. You understand that everything wears out. And you may not know that's called the second law of thermodynamics, but you know that things wear out, whether it's your clothes or your car or whatever else. You learn some things by experience. You see, Paul draws attention to the ignorance of man. The Christian read to us just a few moments ago from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, and I want to go back and key on some of the words that are in that passage, as well as to add one from Ephesians 4. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest. It's shown in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's not as if God hasn't provided the evidence. It is that man has ignored it. It's as if we have chosen ourselves not to look. There are some things that really bother me. I don't like snakes. Whenever there's a television show that comes on that has snakes, and they're showing it around people's legs or things like that, I look away. I don't want to see it. I don't want to acknowledge that it's there. I want to put it out of my mind. So many people of the world, when it comes to God, want to put Him out of their mind. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 18, Paul is talking about the Gentile mind, and he's talked about who they were and how they lived. And here's what he says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There is an ignorance in man. Why is it there? Because they blinded themselves. They put something in front of their eyes. Well, this is going to lead me to what we want to study today. I want to talk about, number one, confusion. Is this world confused? You have to say yes. Then I want to talk, second of all, about clarity from God's Word. Since there's so much to say, I want to move swiftly as we begin to look at the confusion of this world. This world does not leave a place for God in its wisdom. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth, he was dealing with a city that was literally filled with immoral behavior. And he was pointing out how God has attempted to address this situation. And so he says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, or did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world, in its wisdom, the way it thinks, does not know God. Doesn't know that He's there. Doesn't know how He lives and how He works and how He conducts Himself in the affairs of men. Let me just take some specific areas where the world is confused. The world's confused about the very existence of God. Some deny there's a God at all. I don't know about you, but occasionally I flip through the channels and find somebody, and there's a fellow that just irks me to no end. His name's Bill Maher. And he attempts to try to always deny that there's a God in this world at all. He's not the only one. There have been many people throughout the history of man who have denied God's very existence. You go back to the time of the Greeks, and they believed in many gods. Whether it was Hercules, whether it was Zeus, whether it was Apollo, Aphrodite, they had gods many. In fact, when Paul went to Athens and he walked down the street, he was amazed at how many gods they worshipped. They believed in many gods. And there are a lot of people who live in this constant state of confusion who are agnostic. And the word agnostic means, I just don't know. I don't know if there's a God there or not. And some people are not looking to try to find out. They live in a state of confusion. The world is confused about the attributes of God. One of the things that I find so interesting because of our travels to Greece, particularly to Athens and Corinth, I've tried to study a little bit about the gods they worshipped. And it's amazing to me at some of the bizarre behavior of some of these gods. The Greek gods were prone to warring with one another, throwing temper tantrums, children being born out of heads. When you think about the nature of gods, it's surprising. Here a storm comes up and they immediately assume the god of the sea has become angry. Some of the gods were perceived as selfish, hedonistic, arbitrary. In other words, why did the gods do this or the gods do that? Just because they wanted to, because they felt like it that day. The world is in confusion with regards to the moral code of God. And the world is in mass confusion about moral behavior. What is right? What is wrong? When you look at our nation, our country, our lawmakers, they're having a hard time deciding, is any behavior now morally right or morally wrong? Not new. Go back to Acts 17 when Paul's in Athens. He encountered certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. The Epicureans were what we would call today the party animals. They believed that everything that was pleasurable was good. If it made you feel good, you do it. On the other hand, the Stoics didn't believe you show any emotion whatsoever. You don't show happiness and joy, and you don't show sadness. You just stand around in melancholy all day long. Trying to develop a moral code apart from God has resulted in this moral relativism and situation ethics. In about 6 weeks, I'm supposed to speak in the Memphis School of Preaching lectures on the subject of relativism. And there's a lot of history of that. Particularly over the last 200 years, there have been men trying to come up with moral theories without God. How can you have some ethics? You know, we go to our universities and we teach business ethics. We teach medical ethics. We teach all these codes of moral behavior, and there's been an attempt to try to say, well, let's have ethics without God. And how do you do that? How do you determine if anything is right or wrong? Do you understand our country is really debating this issue of homosexuality, abortion, infanticide, adultery? In fact, if you watched a little bit of the news this morning, you heard that instead of everybody saying I do, they're saying I don't. They're not getting married. They're living together. Society is just confused on the subject of moral behavior. And Paul pointed out that this denying of God in the mind has some practical aspects to it. For this reason, God gave them up into vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use to what is against nature. Likewise, men with men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves that penalty of error that was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing that the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What he points out here is that if you do not retain God in your knowledge, you put God out of your mind, all sorts of moral degeneracy will take place. The world, in its wisdom, in its knowledge, does not know how to truly worship God. As you go through the history of man, you will find that man has engaged in some truly disgusting practices. The fact that even parents would sacrifice their children to a god. We've been studying Jeremiah on Wednesday nights. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5 says, they also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. God said, I would have never conceived of people offering children, their infants, to a god. Due to their ignorance, some people have devised their own plan of worship. I know that many of you look around at the religious world today and wonder, how come we have all these different religious groups? And why do they all worship differently? Certainly, these people are zealous in what they believe. Romans 10, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Whenever people are ignorant of what God wants, they'll do what they think they ought to do. Ignorance of God has led man to fashion his own god in his own likeness. In that same context of Romans chapter 1, if you'll notice verses 24 and 25, "Therefore God gave them up into uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." They worshipped and served the creature. The creature, not the Creator. It does not know how to be reconciled to God either. The world does not know how to be right with God. Men have tried to figure out, what does God want for me to be made right? What kind of sacrifice should I offer? In the book of Micah, he says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give the firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" What does God want? You see people approaching, "Does God want me to take these beads and count these beads? Does He want me to say 50 Hail Marys? Does God want me to go to my bank account and drain my bank account and come and give it to someone?" There's no clear answer in this world to what must I do to be saved. The world in its confusion does not understand the future state of man and God as well. The spiritual realm totally confuses man. And so man begins to speculate on all kinds of possibilities. There are some who believe that the soul of man is recycled. It's reincarnated in another body. And I was this in another life, or I was that in another life. Some visualize themselves as becoming gods. If you study the Mormon religion, they will say that God is man, or as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. Or maybe those who are Islamic, those who are Muslims, they view themselves as in the future state as having a harem of virgins. You see, there's so much confusion in this world about the future state of man. And wouldn't it be nice for a little clarity? Don't you and I want someone to give us a clear answer and not be wishy-washy on everything? You ask someone to fix your car. And they say, okay, I'm going to have to replace the starter on your car. How much is that going to cost? Well, it just depends. We're not sure about that. Maybe it could cost this. Maybe. No, tell me the answer. I wanted some clarity. I want to know what the charge is going to be. If you go to the university and you are going into a class and you go to the teacher and you say, now, I want to make an A in this class. What does it take for me to make an A? Well, you could read the textbook. You could come to class. No, tell me what I need to do. I want some clarity. I want a definite answer. This book right here has clear answers to it. You want me to show you some of them? Men are in pursuit of the true God. Not just any God. The true God. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and that we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to speculate. I find it interesting in the history of the children of Israel, particularly during the period of the kings. And he went out to meet King Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found by them. You see, the prophets would say, do you want to know the true God? You can find Him. Clarity is available for you. In Acts 17, verses 26 and 27, Paul told them that God is not far from each one of us. That last line in verse 27. With the Bible, we can know the existence of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 says, for every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. In that very short verse is captured what is called the argument from cause and the argument from design. If you have an effect, there has to be a necessary cause of it. If you hear a boom, a loud noise, there had to be something that caused that. If, for instance, you were to find a watch, you would know there had to be a watchmaker. Every house is built by someone. You know that. All things are built by God. This world is evidence enough in of itself that there is a God. His attributes are not just arbitrary, capricious. God is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. What is God? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is holy. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation and to the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. With the Bible, we can know how to make moral choices. David would say in Psalm 119:104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Through God's Word I can have that understanding. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not only can God's Word tell me what is right and what is wrong, God's Word can tell me whether or not I'm doing it for the right reason. And when you start talking about ethics, right and wrong, it's not only what you do, but it's why you do it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word can also provide us clarity on how to worship Him. John 4, verses 23 and 24, when Jesus was with that woman at the well, He said, for the hour is coming when now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Right attitude, right teaching. How do I know that? By what I read in the Bible. Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus said to Satan, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. I can't serve God and somebody else. With the Bible, there's clarity because we can know how to be reconciled to our God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tell us that it is our sins and iniquities that have separated us from our God and He from His people. I can know what it is that has caused the division between me and God. And I can know what it takes to be reconciled with Him. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing to them their trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, we as ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That whole chapter provides for us that great message of reconciliation through Christ. It also provides for us a glimpse of the future with a very clear choice between heaven and hell. In Acts 17, verse 30, right after Paul preached that sermon about the ignorance that they had and the gods that they were worshiping, he said, truly, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He's given assurance of all this by raising Him from the dead. You see, God no longer just allows ignorance to run rampant. Man can't say, I just don't know. God has called on all of us to repent. Why? Because He's appointed that day. 2 Peter chapter 3, I found it difficult to choose just some specific verses, but I had to for time's sake. For this they willfully forget that the Word of God, the heavens that were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. He said that they wanted to be ignorant about what was coming. When the flood came, It really took them by surprise because they closed their eyes.
Judgment Day is coming for us. And there's a lot of people who have, just like in Noah's day, closed their eyes.
If you drop down to verses 11 and 14, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness?" Verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Folks, let me tell you something. This world may want to close its eyes toward the future, may want to be confused about it, but those who serve God and are His children will enjoy eternity with God in the blessing of heaven. Those who choose to ignore it, those who choose to live otherwise, will spend eternity with the devil in his place of torment. This world is dazzled with its own knowledge. You don't believe that? Look at how many shows that we have that highlight our knowledge. Any of you watched Jeopardy lately? What about, maybe on a more popular level, how many of you watched Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Oh yeah, we like to think we're smart people. Look how much we know. But if I can borrow a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." If you think all this worldly knowledge will suffice you, you don't know it correctly yet. When people know, what they really need to know is the true God and serve Him. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent."